Rendezvous Dental, the great folks over there, always make the County 10 podcast possible. Dr. Crane, Dr. Sackett, and their top-notch staff work hard to bring you the latest state-of-the-art techniques and technology. They are accepting new patients at 312 North 8th West. So if you got a couple of cavities, maybe you've been hitting that sweet tooth a little bit too hard, they can help you out there at Rendezvous Dental. County 10 podcast also made possible by YDOT, the Wyoming Department of Transportation, reminds you to buckle your seatbelt every single time you get into a vehicle. If you're listening to the County 10 podcast on the road, make sure you're buckled up and everybody with you buckled up too. Stats are overwhelming. Seatbelts save lives, so please buckle up out there. And a big thank you to the Wyoming Department of Transportation workers for working hard out there and keeping us safe. Elevate Rehab, Hand and Orthopedic Physical Therapy in Lander, also makes the show possible. They're at 4th and Main next to the Verizon store. They're seeing patients in Dubois at the Duffy Center on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They treat conditions affecting the entire body, so don't live in pain or discomfort. Elevate Rehab can help you. Great staff, great location, and you can follow them on social media for some more details. Some exciting announcements coming later this year too from Elevate Rehab.
This is the County 10 podcast from the Porter's 10cast studio. Here's Jared Anderson.
All right, it is the County 10 podcast. We are pleased to welcome back our good friend Mike Zirbel from 307 Financial Services. He's the owner and financial advisor there. Mr. Zirbel, unfortunately, this time around, not able to have you in our studio as we're not allowed to return to work for at least a few more days. Hopefully that changes the next time we visit, but today we connect via telephone. First of all, how's things in your office and how are you?
Very well, actually. we're financial services, so we are an essential service. So we've been allowed to work this whole time. And we have very low traffic. Typically one or two people a day come in, and of course during the month of April, there were even fewer than that. A little bit larger percentage of my business on the phone than normal, which is already probably the primary medium of communication in my business. So things have really been, fortunately, pretty normal here in terms in business wise, and Shannon and I have both been healthy. So that's all great.
Yeah, very good. Good news for your customers there, certainly. I know you've got a little legal disclaimer to get out of the way here, so I'll let you go ahead and get to that.
We do. So securities and advisory services are offered through the Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Fixed insurance products and services are offered by 307 Financial Services, LLC. You know, we were talking about business a minute ago, and there's one other item, and that is we had a big sale going on in stocks during the month of April. For a while, we had a 30% discount going on. And we still got about a 10%, 10-15% discount plan. So,
wow.
That's how my business has been doing.
Yeah, very, very good deal there. And as we talk about stocks in the market, I know a lot of people discussing that right now, even people that aren't used to investing because there's so much opportunity. What's kind of the latest with the market?
Well, I guess at times like this, you got to remember there's no such thing as a bad stock market. You have got buyer's markets and seller's markets. And March and April were definitely not seller's markets. Prices were low. There was a buyer's market. So it was great for people who were buying, bad for people who were selling. And, you know, this we talk about the stock market investing being a little bit like a roller coaster ride with the ups and downs. And it's sometimes kind of exciting, maybe sometimes more exciting than you care for. But the other thing that's similar about investing and a roller coaster ride is that the only people who get hurt are the people who get off in the middle of the ride. So hanging in there is an important thing. And then the really smart thing is to be adding money during times like that and take advantage of other people who are bailing out. I call this the dark side of buy low, sell high. Because in order to buy low, you have to buy when everybody else is selling, and they're all selling because they're scared, and you are listening to the same things they're listening to, and you're feeling the same things they're feeling, and somehow you have to manage to get yourself to do something totally opposite of what they're doing. It's a tough, tough thing to do. So, today they released the gross national product numbers for the first quarter of the year. First quarter, January, February, March, right? And you remember we began shutting things down in March. What was it, the second week in March here? Third week. First and second week, some other places. But that was enough for gross national product to drop by 5%, just from the tail end of the first quarter. Swung the thing from a positive to 5% negative. Now we were slow for the whole month of April, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. Except that now a number of governors are beginning to open up their states for some activities, so we should start seeing growth in the gross national product of our country starting in May, but it's going to be starting from a low level. So I'm concerned about seeing some more volatility from as people realize how much this is all costing us. This is going to be very, very expensive. And I'm not just talking about the government spending that eventually you and I and all the other taxpayers are going to have to cover, but all the business slowdowns and things and how many small businesses will be lost, some of those kinds of things. So I'm concerned about some volatility while that comes to light. So it's all going to be kind of interesting. What are we going to be focusing on? Now these programs usually stay a while, so we're not going to talk too much about what's going on today, but that's kind of particularly interesting, I think. And it's a case of when is bad news good news? Well, so we said the gross national product dropped 5%, and I'm looking at my computer screen right now, and the stock market is up a little over 2%. Small stocks are up over 3%. So how can we have bad numbers reported and the market moves up substantially? Well, apparently everybody was expecting worse numbers. So bad news can be good news when it's not as bad as what we expected, because the stock market always anticipates what's going to happen next.
Right.
So that's what's happening today, and that's kind of what to look for going forward. So with that, you said your demographics are a bit younger, so you might have a lot of people that have student loans who are listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people worried about their respective finance situations, given their job situations right now. And a lot of people may be looking for some good news from their student loan situation.
Well, and of course, the student loan debt has been a topic of a lot of conversation and a big deal to a lot of people. So in response to the economic impact of the coronavirus, the CARES Act was signed into law on March 27th, and it has a number of provisions, including some relief for student loan debt. So basically, interest and required payments on federal student loans owned by the U.S. Department of Education. Okay, so that's critical. Federal student loans owned by U.S. Department of Education will be automatically suspended without penalty through September 30 of this year. If, however, you wish to continue making payments on your loan, you may do so. So you don't have to drag this thing out if you don't need to. So when is the interest waiver effective? So retroactive to March 13 and effective through September 30, interest on applicable federal student loans will not accrue. So even though you're not paying, you're not making the payments, interest is not going to accrue. So it's like a period of free money. So what type of loans? Federal student loans owned by the U.S. Department of Education are included. Excluded from this relief program are federal student loans held by a commercial lender or by a school directly. Private student loans are also excluded. So then will the monthly payment be lower for those who continue to make payments? No. So if you choose to continue making monthly loan payments, your payment amount will remain the same. Due to the interest waiver, however, more of your monthly payments made during the suspension period will apply to the principal balance of your loan. So thus, instead of making your loan a little longer, like the people who are using this provision, you're not only not making your loan period longer, you're shortening it, because money that would have been applied against interest will now be applied to principal, thus paying off your loan a little faster. So, is action needed to receive the relief? Nope. You don't need to do anything. The interest waiver and suspension of required payments will be applied to the applicable federal student loans automatically through your loan service provider. So, how does the CARES Act affect loan forgiveness programs? So there's good news for individuals working toward public service loan forgiveness. And we've heard of this for doctors and other occupations, or teacher loan forgiveness. Despite the suspension of required payments, each month through September 2020 will count toward the PSLF program, public service loan forgiveness. For teachers in the TLF program who are unable to finish the teaching year as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, the partial year will count as a full year. Okay, so in those respects, both respects, the clock keeps ticking.
Yeah.
Okay, so will debt collection be suspended? Yes. So debt collection for federal student loans owned by the U.S. Department of Education is suspended until September 30, 2020. This suspension applies to garnishments on wages, tax refunds, and Social Security benefits. So if you've been in collection, you're going to get a little bit of relief there until September, or until after September, I should say. So does the CARES Act include an employee benefit? As a tax-free employee benefit, employers can elect to pay up to $5,250 as a student loan repayment. This amount will not be considered taxable income to the employee. It is applicable to student loan payments made after the signing of CARES Act on March 27th and before January 1, 2021. So the $5,250 total includes both repayment of student debt and education assistance benefits excluded from employees' income for the calendar year. So how can borrowers get assistance or additional information? So if your loans are not included in this relief program and your income has been reduced or you're facing challenges during this time, reach out to your loan service provider for assistance in evaluating your options. And not just with student loans, but if you've got a mortgage or a car loan or any kind of a loan and you find yourself in a corner because of this coronavirus business, go talk to your lender and work something out. They don't want lots of cars and houses and things back again, but you got to talk to them. You got to go in and you got to work something out with them because they have people that they have to pay too. So just hiding doesn't help.
Right.
That just makes the problem worse. You need to go in and, typically we're talking about a banker, aren't we? Go in and talk to your banker, level with them and see what you can work out.
Definitely.
They will, especially right now, they will work with you as much as they can. So student loan relief. Big issue, and I know on lots of people's minds, and we've got some relief up through September 30th. And again, those are on the loans that are owned by the U.S. Department of Education. So those are the ones that are affected. Others might have provisions, but you've got to check on them from wherever else they might be coming from.
Sure. So. Hopefully some welcome news and relief for a handful of folks there. We talked off air a little bit about some of the scams going on right now. What do folks need to be aware of and what do they need to watch out for as far as financial scams, both online and over the phone right now?
No good crisis goes unnoticed by the scammers. so we're getting a number of stories about fraudsters taking advantage of unsuspecting victims. It's, you know, it's easy to think this will never happen to me, but boy, keep your money and personal information safe. It's vital to stay abreast of the latest scams. So, we're all dealing with this coronavirus and the economic shutdown, and unfortunately, this has presented an opportunity for those hoping to profit from the growing fears surrounding the virus. So there are a few coronavirus scams, but one of the most insidious has been fake emails that look like they're from the World Health Organization or Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So the WHO and the CDC. At first, these emails look legitimate, but some include some safety measures and feature the logos of those two organizations. Well, first of all, WHO and CDC are not going to contact you directly. Okay, that's not how they operate, just too many people. So they're not going to contact you directly. What to watch out for? So look for spelling and or grammatical errors. Many of these come from foreign countries, and not all these folks have a real good handle on American English grammar. Here's a big one. Request your email address and password. They would never ask for that. Social Security doesn't ask for that. The banks don't ask for that when they contact you, only when you contact them. Whenever you get a request for your email address and password, that's the red lights start flashing. They ask for a donation, sometimes via Bitcoin. The CDC and WHO are not going to ask for donations, or if they include instructions to click on suspicious links or open attachments, that's another big warning sign. So how to protect yourself? It's important to know that the CDC and WHO would not ask for your login credentials. Further, best practice is to never click on a link from an unknown source, as scammers use these links to download viruses onto your computer. When you get an email, there's a little thing up in the top of where it's from that says details. And if you click on that, that's going to give you more information on where it's from. Because sometimes the little thing that you originally get can be deceiving. But you get more information if you click on details in the from part of the email. Finally, if you're looking for facts on coronavirus, go directly to CDC or WHO website. You go there. That way you know that you're going to the right place, and you're not putting your personal information in the wrong hands. The phony lotto call. Imagine answering the phone and a caller delivering the best news ever. You've won the lottery. It sounds too good to be true. It almost always is. So what's the giveaway? To get the prize money, you must first send in a small amount of money, perhaps to pay a lawyer's fees or taxes or something like that. Over time, the request for your money will continue growing larger and larger. Another red flag is that the caller may ask to keep the conversation confidential until your winnings have been formally announced. That's another big red light. When you're offered an investment opportunity or you've won something or somebody calls for help. I think most of us have heard about elderly folks being called and a young person who's on the phone says, "Grandma, Grandma, I'm in jail in Mexico, and I need some bail money to get out. But don't tell Mom and Dad. This is a special investment opportunity, very short time, but don't tell anybody because it's special." Don't tell anybody is a big one, and that's the point where you should start telling people. Remember when we were kids, they said, stranger danger, don't talk to strangers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that we're adults, and some of us older adults, on the phone, we shouldn't talk to strangers either. Because stranger danger still. And I'll tell you what, People get are kind of embarrassed when they get caught, but these people are really good. You know, and the temptation is, Grandma, oh, is that you, Johnny? Yep, it's me, Johnny. Well, you just gave them the name of your grandson, and they're going to use that. If you think it's real, say, well, now, which one are you? So they've got to pick the name of one of your grandchildren.
Right.
And then of course, the next thing you do is they said, don't tell Mom and Dad. You call them right away and say, is your son in Mexico?
Absolutely.
So always check those things out. So lots of people have fallen for these scams before they realize that the grandchild is not in trouble, or the grand prize is not coming, or the investment. The romance scam. This is pretty common, especially on the internet. Somebody will set up a profile on a dating app or social media and start up conversation, and they'll get the conversation going long enough to establish a relationship and some trust, and then start asking for some money. I'm out of the country and I need money for a plane ticket. Oh, I'll buy a plane ticket. No, you can't do it because of this. You need to send me the money. Those things are tough. There's always a reason why you can't meet in person. So that's a big one. And apparently Americans have lost $201 million in online romance scams in 2019.
Wow.
It's a big one. Absolutely. So protecting yourself, there are two rules of thumb to help steer clear of the romance scam. One, do not send money to someone you haven't met in person. Two, be wary of anyone who requests payment by a gift card. If you suspect to become a victim of a romance scam, be sure to stop all contact immediately and report your suspicions to the Federal Trade Commission. You can tell the local police. They will take whatever action they might be able to do, but then they forward them on. We met with the special agent in charge of the Denver office of the FBI, and he said that they can only go after scams that are of a certain size. They need to be big enough. They don't have the resources to go after every little one, but I want you to report every little one, because sometimes your little one adds up with hundreds of other people's little one, then it's a big one, and that's something that they can go after. So they want to know about them all. And our police department knows what the FBI wants, you know, what kind of information they need and want, and which kind of things that they can help you deal with. So that's my favorite place to call.
Yeah.
Whenever I've got a concern or an issue. Unfortunately, we're in a small town, and we have a police department that cares about us.
Yeah.
So that's a good deal.
Absolutely. Lot to be mindful of there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Social Security scams are always out there. And sometimes you get one that they, so you get a call indicating that your Social Security number has been compromised or has been used to commit fraudulent activities. That's scary to hear. But the bad news is often coupled with the threat of arrest or legal action unless you immediately pay a fine. Oops, there's the warning. Social Security is never going to call you and ask for money. And Social Security doesn't, I don't know them ever calling anybody unless they ask for a call first. And some people tell me even then it's hard to get them to call. But they're not going to call you and ask for money. They're going to send you a letter. You get threatening calls from Social Security or Social Security, IRS, back taxes, penalties, and things like that. You got to send money immediately. The IRS does not call you and ask for money. Okay, they send you a letter. It's a very unfriendly letter, but they send you a letter. They do not call you and ask you to send money immediately. So those things are things that are out there, things to look for. And I guess probably the best rule is stranger danger. Don't talk to to people you don't know. Don't send money to somebody that you haven't met in person, and always talk to other people. Talk to other people. Talk it through with somebody else, somebody that you can trust. Because I'll tell you what, these people are really good. My favorite was a condo scam. This guy had a condominium in Mexico, and he got a call one day from somebody that said, "Hey, we got people looking for your timeshare, and would you like to sell that?" "Well, yeah, I'd like to sell that." And I said, "Well, so you need to send us a retainer fee, so that we can advertise it and do what we need to do to get your timeshare on the market." And so he sent him a check, and well, then there were legal fees, and then there were some real estate tax fees and some other fees, and it went on and on to where this guy had tens of thousands of dollars. And finally, he told somebody, and he said he's being scammed and to stop right now. And so he did, and lo and behold, about 4 to 6 weeks later, he gets another call from Mexico from somebody purporting to be with a law firm. There's an outfit that's been scamming people like you, and we wonder if you've gotten any calls like that. Well, yes, I have. Well, the police have caught them, and we're doing legal proceedings to try to get some of this money back. And if you send us a retain, it was the same outfit. Wow. After the guy again. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
Stranger danger, huh?
Absolutely.
All right.
Mr. Zirbel, I appreciate your time as always. Great advice there. For more good advice, please contact 307 Financial Services. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Oh, boy. Stop by 416 East Main. Give us a call at 856-8200 or send me an email, mike@307financial.com.
Perfect. We'll do this again next month. Hopefully, I'll be allowed to do this in studio with you next month, but either way, I'll look forward to it.
Hoping for that. Thank you, Jared.
Mike Zirbel, owner and financial advisor at 307 Financial Services. Always good stuff from him. Again, that was our conversation in late April. He will have a brand new conversation coming very soon on the County 10 podcast for the month of May. We catch up with him and get an economic and financial report here in Fremont County every single month. A couple new pieces coming out here later this week on the County 10 podcast. If you're not subscribed, make sure to do that. You can ask your smart speaker to play the County 10 podcast or find us on the podcast tab at county10.com. Big shout out again to Rendezvous Dental, the Wyoming Department of Transportation, and Elevate Rehab, Hand and Orthopedic Physical Therapy, for making the show possible. Have a great rest of your day all across Fremont County.
The County 10 podcast is recorded in the 10Cast studio, powered by Porters. It's produced and hosted by Jared Anderson. Special thanks to Bells and Bows Clothing Boutique, the Shoshone Rose Hotel and Casino, the Wyoming Department of Transportation, Elevate Rehab, and Rendezvous Dental. Follow 10Cast on Facebook and Twitter. For more podcasts, events, and Fremont County news, visit county10.com.